Southeast on the ferry system, you may have traveled on a small ferry called Leconte. In fact, when the mission teams were first being sent out, there was a mission team that went to Huna, and they more than likely traveled on the Leconte because that's the route that it would take. And they actually prayed for the governor. They prayed for the governor of Alaska on that trip. Praise God. So mission teams have been doing great things for a long time. You can expect God to do all kinds of things through you. Amen. The Lord doing a powerful work. Praise God. But it's not the ferry, Leconte, that I want to talk to you about tonight. It's a fishing vessel called the Leconte that was based in Sitka. They fished the inside waters because it was an older boat, 77 feet long, built out of oak in 1919. So in 1998, it had already seen many, many seasons, many, many seas and storms, and they weren't quite sure they should take it in the outside water. So they fished on the inside, but the prices weren't as good as what they could get from ground fish out in what's called the fair weather grounds. And so they decided to go out into the Gulf of Alaska, make their sets out there, and hope that the bottom fish that they find would bring them a better price. 100 miles out, they began to set their gear. And at one point, they had to run because they saw weather coming, and it was a slow boat, barely making 10 knots. And they ran for a harbor and waited out the storm and then went back out again, continued fishing. They had another storm come upon them as they were pulling their sets, their ground lines down on the bottom, baited and pulling in fish. And again, the wind sprang up. But this time the skipper said, we're gonna pull all of those sets because we may not be able to make it back for a few days because this looks like a bad storm. Let's go ahead and pull as many sets as we can, and then we'll make a run for the harbor. Well, it got much worse, much quicker than they thought. Finally, they got the last bit of gear aboard, and they turned towards the harbor, which really wasn't a harbor. It's a bay that the boats from the outside waters go to and anchor up there, called Graves Harbor. And this time, their 10 knots was neutralized by the wind and the waves pushing against them. And at one point, they were only making a half a knot in progress toward shore. And then they realized, we're not even making that progress. And then the pump quit. And they dashed down below and tried to get it restarted and get the bilge water out, but it was coming in quicker than they thought. They quickly gathered buckets, 5-gallon buckets, and began to scoop it up from around the engine. They were trying to keep the engine above water and passing them up the ladder. And for a while, that seemed to work, at least hold it neutral. And then they realized we're losing ground. Finally, the captain realized we're going to have to get off the boat. He ordered everybody to come topside. They all got into their survival suits as quickly as they could. And by then, the waves were slamming into the side of the ship. And they knew it could not last long. Finally, together, they gathered on the rail as it was listing way over. And the skipper said, we're all going to jump together. And they had their suits on and they had tied themselves together in a circle in a rope, and he counted 1, 2, 3, and they all jumped. Said it was a strange thing to see the lights in the pilot house still on as the boat slipped beneath the waves, and bubbles coming from the exhaust stack as the engine kept running, and they watched it go down and, of course, tried to move away so that the suction of the sinking ship would not pull them under. The waves continued to grow. They estimated those waves to be 70 feet high. They weren't just rolling swells. They had crests on the top. And those crests would break over the five men roped together. And they said it was like being in a washing machine, just being tumbled around. And, you know, they're roped together, their feet being tangled in the rope, their bodies slamming into each other, and then finally breaking the surface because of the neoprene suits that they had were buoyant, and they, again, would be able to surface and gulp for air and check if everybody's still there. And then here they go again, another crest. They said, and the helicopters that came to attempt a rescue, two of them hovered over them. And at one point, the man who was at the winch and the big open side door began to scream, up, 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 because he was looking up at the crest of the wave about to break over the helicopter. And they were able to escape just by a few feet. And the danger just continued to increase because the waves that were regular were about 70 to 80 feet. And then every now and then, a rogue wave, 100 feet. This building is 70 feet long, just to give you an idea. To stand this building on end, that would be the size of the waves that were continuous. And then a 100-footer would come and just about hit the helicopter out of the air. On top of that, the winds were 70 to 80 miles an hour. When the third helicopter came and tried to bring the rescue, they would hover over the men with their basket and corrections and instructions going back and forth over the radio as they tried to get the basket close to the men who were in the water. And they would fail, and the wind would gust and blow them several thousand feet off target, and they would have to make their way back up again, trying to avoid the waves, but yet trying to get low enough that their basket could get in the water. Finally, a man was able to crawl in, and they began to hoist him up. And unbeknownst to those who were in the helicopter, there were two men in the basket, or one hanging on, one hanging to the side, another man laying in the rescue basket. It was dark. They couldn't see, and the basket came even with the door, and they're yanking, trying to get it in, but it wouldn't swing in. And two of the crewmen began really pulling on it, and finally they realized there's a man on the outside of the basket hanging on. And just as they made eye contact with him, he let go, fell back down into the water. And that was the skipper who lost his life. They were able to rescue three of those crewmen. The third helicopter had enough fuel to hover and effect the rescue and bring the other two aboard. But two of the crewmen were lost. Now, what makes this story so special to me is that one of those crewmen I went to school with, one of them named David Hanlon, was a year behind me in school. And I remember him. And he was one of the ones who was lost. Some 6 months later, they found his body on Shuyak Island. Some young deer hunters were walking the beach, and they saw an orange glove and went over to see what it was, and David's hand was in that glove, and a bear had found his body and had drug it up into its den. 650 miles from where the ship went down, from where the boat went down, the currents carried his body all the way over that distance. What an amazing display of the forces of nature that know no mercy. No mercy. No matter how much they wanted the waves to subside, no matter how much they wanted the wind to decrease, no matter how much they wanted the helicopter to remain overhead. And you can imagine the anguish when those two helicopters had to depart back to base because they were running out of fuel. And finally, the third helicopter, getting at least three of them aboard. No mercy in nature. Thank God he saved us. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I want to speak to you for a little while about spiritual shipwreck. 1 Timothy 2, or verse 1, or chapter 1, rather, 1 Timothy 1, verse 19, holding faith, holding on to that faith, not letting it slip away, not letting it out of your grasp, as though you were with that one who was hanging on to the side of the rescue basket. Hold on to that faith. And a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Now, Paul is not speaking poetically. He's not speaking as though he is looking at a metaphor or analogy. He has been in shipwrecks. He knows what he's talking about. And he held on to faith in those actual and real shipwrecks that he was a part of. Moreover, he held on to a good conscience. Thank God, a good conscience, it comes from being baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus. A good conscience comes from being washed in his blood. A good conscience comes from walking with God in all sincerity, in all desire for the work of the Lord that he wants to make in our lives. 1 Timothy 1 and 5, the Lord said, now the end, or Paul rather wrote, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Paul could point to the mother and grandmother of Timothy and said that faith unfeigned was in them. And I hope it is in you. Thank God we can hold on to that faith. He told Timothy to war a good warfare, a warfare that is spiritual, battling the devil, battling deception, fighting against false doctrine, and avoid living shallow. Shallow waters contain rocks. Shallow waters contain shoals. Shallow waters contain unknown dangers. And if you're playing or living in shallow waters, the rocks of deception, false teachers, even self-deception can wreak havoc upon you and your ship of faith. Amen. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, James wrote, because you can deceive yourself. There can be self-deception as though you are thinking, I'm doing what's right. I'm doing what I should be doing. I'm on a mission trip. I'm doing the work of the Lord. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Amen. Oh, modern navigation is so amazing. Modern navigation is so wonderful. How many have been led astray by a GPS? Prince Edward Island. I'm sure that farmer was wondering, what in the world are they doing driving by my field? But that's where the GPS took us, right alongside his field, and he's going by in a tractor looking at us. A four-lane highway following the shore, going around to, where were we going? Charlottetown. But that GPS said it's shorter this way. Yeah. Misguided. You've arrived at your destination. And was it a cemetery when we were going to the Seagraves' wedding? Yeah, right. Well, God's word and God's voice is not going to lead you astray like a GPS. Amen. Not going to give you false readings. Not going to lead you down the wrong way. Praise God. Follow those who watch for your souls. Amen. They're guarding your spiritual welfare. Follow them. Obey them. Amen. Thank God for the power and the blessings of the Lord. And if you're kicking up a storm, don't expect smooth sailing. That's right. Praise God. Live where life is deep. Don't be satisfied with shallow living. Don't be satisfied with just going along here and I'm going through the motions. I'm doing what just what I need to do to get by. No, do all that you can. Not just enough to get by. Thank God for repentance. I'm so glad the Lord saved me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Humble and contrite because God dwells with them and the Lord revives them. Isaiah 57:15. Thank God we can be willing to change. We can be obedient to God. We can hold to our first love. Praise God. Not neglecting it, not leaving it, not forgetting it. Hold to that first love. Praise God. Live in that first love. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Amen. Thank the Lord for that power. And then taking a stand. Having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore. And the apostle goes on and lists all that enables you to stand and not flee from the enemy, but to fight a good fight. Praise God. Because when you take a stand, you're not standing alone. Amen. There's a church standing with you. There are angels standing with you. The Lord stands with you. Ah, hallelujah. Thank God for the power of the Lord. Amen. And hold to that faith. Don't make shipwreck of faith. Amen. There are some who have a difficult time. I remember Brother Lamas telling us about fellow ministers from the Houston area and friends of his that that he knew from preaching from years ago. And now they're not walking with God. He called them up to ask, what's going on? What's the matter? And the man replying, I can't believe that all of mankind would be affected by the actions of two people who just took something off a tree. That doesn't make sense. And walked away. Shipwreck of faith. Can't afford that. Can't take a chance on that. Amen. Paul on that ship in Acts 27, one of the shipwrecks that we know is written about. Paul said, I've been on three shipwrecks. I've survived all three of them. And this one in particular, he gives the details. He lets them know, the prisoners and the crew, be of good cheer, he says. I believe God. It shall be even as it was told me. Paul might suffer the shipwrecks in the natural, but he was not going to let his faith fail him. Praise God. And he reported, there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Hallelujah. He had it nailed down. There was no way he was going to walk away from that. There was no way a tilting ship and a howling wind was going to blow him down. He was going to hold on to that faith. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. And your faith can be contagious. Praise God. Be of good cheer, he told them. And I noticed in Acts 27 and 36 that that's what happened. They were of good cheer. Praise God. Somebody who holds on to faith. Somebody who's not going to let it go. Somebody who believes the Lord. Somebody who trusts there's an angel standing with him when he takes a stand. Somebody that's going to keep holding on when all of things are of life are falling down around. And thank God the Lord will be there to lift you up and likewise help others who are able to come to the Lord as well. God can give favor in shipwreck. Paul advised them we shouldn't sail. He probably should have told him, I've been in three shipwrecks. We better not sail. But you know what? The centurion believed the captain and the owner of the ship rather than Paul. And so into the storm they went. At first, the south winds blew softly, is how Luke records it. It seemed good for them to go. And so they cast off. But it wasn't long until the storm began to blow and a tempest grabbed a hold of them. No small tempest. It couldn't have been small. They didn't see the sun or stars for many days. It must have been a horrible storm. And so they began to lighten the ship. Praise God. That's a good idea to get rid of some things. Jonah had to be gotten rid of. Different kind of shipwreck. Different kind of outcome from the choice that he made. But get rid of some things. It's more important to make heaven your home than it is to hold on to possessions and things here in this world. Amen. When Paul said, put away, they put away their faith. They put away their faith and made shipwreck. We need to understand we can't do that. But there are some things to put away. There are some things to put off. Amen. The Bible says that Paul said, I put away childish things. Amen. I put away bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slanderous activity and malice. I put those things away. Jesus came to put away sin. Thank God we can walk in the way that the Lord is going to provide for us, and we can know He'll be there to minister to us no matter what. When we lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and we run with patience, amen, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher, praise God. They began to throw things overboard. They took soundings. They determined the depth. When they realized it was getting shallower, they dropped anchors. Good thing to examine where you are. Good thing to check it out. Am I getting in shallow water here? Am I getting in dangerous ground? Am I in where I shouldn't be? Praise God. Put off and put on the instructions that the apostle gives. Put off the old man. Put off that old way of thinking. Put off that old way of acting. Put off that old way of looking and the appearance. But put on the new man. Praise God. After God is created in true righteousness and holiness. Praise God. After is an interesting term. It has to do with chronological order. After this service. Then it also has something to do with I'm going after. I'm pursuing something. Praise God. After God. I'm both looking at what God has done in my life after He has done His work, after He has moved by His grace, after faith has been put in my life, after, praise God, I can walk in righteousness and true holiness. And then in the same token, I'm pursuing that. I'm reaching for it. I'm desiring it. I'm following it. Praise God. Not just folding my arms and saying, well, if it happens to come by, I might take a look. No, no. Pursuing it. Desiring it. Praise God. Amen. Their ship was grounded. It hit bottom. It began to break apart. But praise God. Again, Paul was shown favor. Amen. The soldiers wanted to kill all of the prisoners. Paul was just one among many. And the soldiers rightfully figured, if they escape, our life is forfeit in their place. They knew that was the law of the Roman Empire. But the centurion spared them because he wanted to save Paul. And it's interesting that his name is included. Only two centurions, as far as I know, named in the book of Acts. Cornelius and this one, Julius. Got his name in the Bible. Praise God. Oh, Jesus said, rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. Hopefully, that's where he ended up. Praise God. He wanted to save Paul. And so no one was executed. No one was killed. And all 276 survivors of that shipwreck made it ashore. What are the chances? Some were swimming, some got a hold of boards and made their way to shore. And then we know the rest of the story, the miracles that took place. Paul being bit by a venomous snake, but he shook that snake off into the fire. People realizing the miraculous is here, something powerful is taking place, and then the healing beginning to happen. Praise God, the Lord gave favor. The Lord gave favor, praise God, to the Apostle Paul. Even though shipwrecked those three times, Paul did not give up. Paul did not say, Lord, if this is how you're going to treat me, forget it. I'm going back to making tents. Nope. Miracles, signs and wonders. Amen. A night and a day in the deep, I'm still going on. Still continuing the journey. He determined he wasn't going to be a castaway. He said, I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that after I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. He wasn't going to take a chance. He wasn't going to allow himself to be lulled into a false sense of complacency. He didn't want to be disqualified. He didn't want to be a castaway. God brings us through so many things. God brings us through. I love Isaiah 43 and 2. When thou passest through the waters. Now, Isaiah, writing the words of the Lord, does not specify what the waters are. It could be a stormy lake. It could be an ocean that is about to swallow. But when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, the Lord declares. Praise God. Through rivers, they're not going to overflow. When you walk through the fire, you're not going to be burned. The flame is not going to kindle upon thee. Thank God. The Lord knows how to bring you through tough times. You don't have to make shipwreck. You don't have to forfeit your faith. You don't have to turn aside in disgust or dismay. Thank God. The hand of the Lord will be displayed. Amen. Oh, yes. He arose. Well, he was asleep in the ship, and they were so worried, they woke him and said, don't you care, Lord? The devil tries to tell you the Lord doesn't care. The Lord tries, the devil rather tries to convince you, you don't have favor. The Lord's not going to hear you. You're going to go through this trouble and this problem. There's not going to be any answers. But thank God the Lord arose. Amen. Oh, he arose, thank God. Not just getting up from his place in the ship, but he arose. There's an empty tomb. There's a stone that's rolled aside. Hallelujah. There's grave clothes that are not occupied. Our God knows how to bring his power into play. He arose and rebuked the wind. And he said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. Hallelujah. And they were amazed, saying, the wind and the sea obey him. The wind and the sea, praise God. Elements of nature that man has no control over, but the Lord does. The Lord knows how. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm reminded of Brother Hanlon, David's uncle, a young Christian. Serving God only a year. When he got baptized, they broke the ice on the shore and waded out. On his way home, his hair froze. Praise God. But he needed money. No jobs. Fishing seasons were far apart. He decided, I'm going to go after some seals. We could eat the meat. I could save the skins and sell them and make some money that way. So I'm going to go hunt some seals. He got in a skiff and began cruising the shoreline. Got quite a ways from town and saw a couple of seals in a cove. He quickly circled back around, beached his boat on the little point, and walked up to a rock and rested on and shot the seals. Bang, one, waited for a minute or two. The other one came up for air and shot that one. They're both drifting there. All excited, he turned around to run back to the skiff. And in his excitement, in his rush, he had simply dropped the bow line on the beach, didn't anchor it down, didn't weight it down so the skiff wouldn't drift away. But to his dismay, the skiff is drifting down the shoreline, the wind and the tide moving it rapidly away from him. He began to run down the beach, hoping that the point that was down a little ways, he could step out on that point and be able to grab the line again. But the tide moved it out farther. He waded out as far as he could. It was wintertime. It was cold. He couldn't afford to get in the waters and swim. That would have been self-defeating. But he waded out as far as he could, and the skiff was rapidly drifting away. He raised his hands. He closed his eyes. He said, "Lord, nobody knows where I am. Nobody knows I'm out here. I'm all by myself. Lord, I need your help. Please help me." Had his hands raised. And when he lowered his hands, they were right on the bow of the skiff. Does he still know how to control the wind and the waves? Do the winds and the seas still obey him? Oh, yes. That's the God who will keep you from making shipwreck of your faith. That's the God who will provide for you. That's the God who will minister to you, regardless of what the problems are. You will pass through the waters. You will come through the river. You will have help through the fire. He'll be there as that fourth man. You are not alone. Hallelujah. And the flames are not going to kindle up upon you, though the devil comes with his design. The devil comes with his destruction. Your God is there. Amen. Amen. The Apostle John, the remaining apostle, all that had passed away, and now John remains alone in a storm, but not a storm of wind and wave, not a storm of rain and lightning, a storm of being on an island, isolated from the church that he loved, far away from the people who called him pastor and called him brother. Criminals of the empire, exiled to the Isle of Patmos to work in what is traditionally recognized as a salt mine, a prison island. But John says, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." Praise God. He wasn't going to back up. He wasn't going to seek an easier way. He was taking a stand. Praise God. The Roman Emperor Domitian banished John there in 95 AD. But John saw ultimate victory. Praise God. An enemy even greater than the emperor. An enemy that is described as a roaring lion. And yet John recorded it. An enemy who knows that he has but a short time. Praise God. Hallelujah. He saw ultimate victory over that enemy. Praise God. He saw one angel with a chain. Praise God. And a key to a place called the bottomless pit. And he saw Satan cast in there, hallelujah, and kept bound for 1,000 years. Praise God. And how he was shut up in there. Amen. Oh, thank God. He's going to be shut up with no more temptations, no more deceptions, no more deceiving. Praise God. The Lord's going to shut him up. And there's going to be 1,000 years of peace. Hallelujah. Amen. And then he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. But look what John saw. Oh, yeah, the tree of life, the river of life. Heard the Lord say, "Come, whosoever will, drink of the waters of life freely." Praise God. That's going to be the end? Let's hold on. Hold on. Hold to that faith. Hold to that faith. Don't make shipwreck. Praise God. Don't let the storms make shipwreck. Don't let Satan make shipwreck. Don't let sin drag you down. Don't be self-satisfied. Say, well, good enough. I got the Holy Ghost. I spoke in tongues once. That's good enough. Oh, make sure you've got more and more and more. Hallelujah. Renewed again and again. Hold on to that faith. Praise God for so great salvation the Lord has provided. Amen. You probably noticed the theme of the songs that were chosen. So glad He saved me. Hallelujah. If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad the Lord saved me. I know it was His blood. Hallelujah. I know it was His blood that saved me. One day when I was lost, He died upon that cross. Hallelujah. Oh, thank the Lord. And on we can sing about salvation. But not just sing about it. Thank God, rejoice. Thank God, be thrilled. Thank God, be excited and wanting to see others come to this salvation and knowing the blessing of the Lord. And oh, digging deeper, going farther, knowing more. Praise God. I want you to comprehend the love of Christ, Paul said. Its depth, its height, its width. Praise God. And but yet he said it's beyond knowledge. But go ahead and try it anyway. Amen. Thank God we can move into the realm that God has for us and know so great salvation. Hallelujah. No, I'm not going to make shipwreck. I'm going to hold on to that faith. I'm going to keep that good conscience. Amen. I'm not going to put away faith. I'm going to put away things that hinder my faith. Amen. I'm going to avoid shipwreck. Stand with me, please. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you give God praise here for a few minutes? Give God thanks right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.